You are listening to The Good News on 810 KLVZ. Now, here's Angie Austin with The Good News.
Carrie Scott is here. She is an inspirational speaker and an author, and she wrote the book Let's Get Real, Raising Godly Kids, and also Raising Godly Kids, A Book of Prayers. Welcome to you, Carrie Scott.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're in a big group of Christian ladies that I'm friends with, and that's how we met.
Absolutely.
I want to know a little bit about you. If you become a Christian speaker and author, it obviously has to be something important in your life. Is that something that you grew up with, your faith?
I would say that my family on both sides were very religious. We grew up going to church on both sides, different denominations, but church. So it's always been something in my life. I would say I accepted Jesus at a very young age. But the interesting thing is, it probably wasn't till about 10 years ago that I really started to understand what a relationship with Jesus was and started making it more of my own. I had gone through some very tough seasons in my life with abuse. I had made very bad choices and decisions. I mean, who hasn't? Let's be honest.
Yeah, everybody's got a story, right?
Exactly, exactly. And God decided that it was time to get busy. And so he called me into ministry, and it kind of caught me off guard. I had no clue this was going to be the path that I was going to walk. But I'm so grateful, and I love it. And I'm just, I'm so happy to be serving a God that redeems lives that are messy and complicated.
Did you want to write a book, or is that something? Did you always wanted to be an author?
I have never aspired to be an author.
Really?
Do you know what I love to do, actually, is speak. I started out speaking, and so I love to get in front of a group of women and talk about God's redemptive power, to encourage women that if God can use me with all that I've been through, there is great hope for everybody else. So that's my passion. I think they kind of go hand in hand. And I write for a couple of blogs that are mother-focused, parenting-focused.
And I think it's interesting when you were talking about, you know, becoming a believer, like when you were really young. This weekend, my son, who's 8, he wanted to know about communion. Normally, he's not in church when we do communion. Mm-hmm. So when they passed out the little crackers and the little juice, he wanted to know if he'd get a refill. And I said, no, there are no refills. That's just the one that you get, and tried to explain to him the concept. But that concept, when you're young, of what it's difficult to grasp, I think. So then you end up writing Let's Get Real, Raising Godly Kids. Why is that topic for you so important?
I think it was a natural birth based on these other websites that I had been writing for and writing columns about being a mom. And surprisingly, I absolutely love being a mother. Growing up, I didn't think that I would.
Really? Why?
Because I had had an abusive childhood, not at the hands of my parents, just across the board, different situations that I was put into or found myself in. I just suffered a lot of different abuse. And so I never really felt like I had much of a maternal instinct. Maybe that was a little bit of protection. Honestly.
Yeah.
But I had my kids. We were told we couldn't have any, my husband and I, and God had different plans. So we have 2 kids 14 months apart, and I have loved being a mom.
Really?
Adored it. You know, you hear so many moms that complain about summer months. What am I going to do with my kids? How are we going to survive? I am actually sad they're going back to school.
Oh, it was a blast. Wasn't the summer a blast?
A blast.
But I'm a mom. I don't really like routines. I don't like, and see, and I fall out of any routine over the summer. So I can't even imagine what it's going to be like when school starts again, because I don't even know what a routine is. I mean, a bedtime, like it's flexible. And so that's not good. So I'm getting ready to start an official real routine.
Yes, we are too, because we start in about a week. So we're thinking, what time do we need to go to bed? And we're figuring out school supplies. And really, I have a bit of sorrow, because I'm just going to miss hanging out with them. They're
so
great
fun.
Yeah.
Well, and you missed Angel, my first guest on the show. She's a radio host right across the hall. She is a list person. And she actually, before the kids start school, she does a dry run through where they actually all get up, they all get dressed, they all eat as they normally would. And she finds out how long it will take them to get ready for school.
I
is that not
that.
Hilarious?
No, I think that's really wise, actually, because it's pretty scary at first when we start.
Well, how do we raise godly kids? Again, if you're just joining us, Carrie Scott, author of the book Let's Get Real, Raising Godly Kids. How do we raise kids that care about others? Just the other day, we were walking past a man. I told Jorge this story. A homeless man, and I had a bunch of donuts we just bought, six of them. So there was enough, one extra for our family's five, and I said, would you like a donut? And he said, he goes, I'm trying to cut back. He was joking with me. So I let him pick whichever one he wanted. And so my little boy started to cry, and he said he picked the flavor I wanted, not in front of the gentleman. And I said, really, Riley? Really, do you want to go back and tell him that you want that one and you want to switch with him? Really? Can't he have his choice of which one he wants? Yes. Can't you be a giver? And so I don't think that giving comes naturally to my children.
I don't think it comes naturally to any of us, honestly. I think it just takes a heart change from Jesus. I really have seen such growth in my kids, and it's this persistence that we have in parenting. We're struggling with kind of beating some ideas into our children, per se, trying to get them to become more just involved in their community, to be nicer to each other, to take more time and effort in doing their chores. And my husband and I were talking about how frustrated we were the other night, that it seems like we keep reminding and reminding and reminding them and nothing sticking. And I mentioned that to a friend of mine, and she said this that I then relate to my husband in this conversation. It's perseverance. That's what it's all about. It's continuing to do the right thing, to model the right thing, not perfectly, but to continue to speak life and to speak encouragement and to speak affirmation and to show your children, train them up, and you will see the fruit of that labor.
You know, a parenting expert that I used to have on Channel 2 when I worked there said that what he does is he does not nag them. He goes out and he mows the lawn. He does the garbage. He does all that. And then the next day when his son comes to say, hey, I'm ready to go up skiing, he says, oh, I wish I could, but I did all your chores yesterday, and I am exhausted.
That is brilliant.
And so we can't go today. I am, and he said that really breaks them quickly. Now I don't know how it would work with a younger child, but I could see that really working with a teenager if they're losing privileges because the parent, he just did it. He just didn't say another word after he reminded him, and then okay, I'm done. I'm doing it myself. So it's worth a try, huh? How old are your kids?
My kids are 11 and 10. And one of the things we've done sort of along that same idea of thinking is this summer they were bickering. And we always start out the summer bickering. It takes a couple of weeks to settle in.
Months. Mine are still bickering.
Or years. Here yeah. We go. But they were having a tough time getting along and just being, just short with each other and rude. And so I decided that the best way to show love is to serve. So if you're going to treat your brother or treat your sister in a hurtful way, in a rude way, then you're going to serve them by cleaning their room, bathroom, what have you. And so we implemented that. And you know what? The summer ended up being really great most of the time. Everybody got along, but they really knew that within a moment's notice, I was going to have them cleaning the other person's mess. And they didn't want any part of that.
Well, in terms of raising up godly kids, what can we do with our children to instill the caring maybe doesn't come naturally. The empathy doesn't. One of my kids will fall or one will push the other and they'll just walk away. And I'm like, you have to go over, ask if they're okay, pat them on the back, tell them you're sorry, look in their eyes. How do we instill these things, the honesty, the caring for others, the Christian values that we want our kids to walk away with after we've raised them?
We pray and ask for God's mercy. No, I do think that's part of it. But I find, and you might too, because you might hear this, but I will hear my children repeating things that I say or holding a door for a stranger after they've seen me do it. And I think that we can be the best model and let them show them what normal looks like, what a normal just being courteous and kind and encouraging looks like every day. And so if we can do it, which is a tall order sometimes because, I get tired and cranky, but to realize, we are the Bible to them. We are the Bible that they read, they watch us and see us. And so if we can show them what it looks like and walk out our faith, even when we mess up, just the other day I had to say to my son, I'm really sorry that I assumed the worst in you a moment ago. Would you forgive me for that? Because that's really not how I should handle this. And having that humility to go back and to show them what an apology looks like and affirm them when you see them doing something so kind to somebody else.
Yeah, to back up that kindness. And I think that you're right, in terms of, we had like a kind of a road rage incident where somebody, my son read his lips and knew what he said. And then he said he waved at us with one finger. He said, "Wait, you think he was pointing at us?" And I'm like, "No, that's the wrong finger for pointing." But yeah, nice thought. He had no idea what the symbol was that the guy threw out the window. And so Riley said, "How come you didn't yell at him?" I said, "I don't look over. I just keep driving." And I said, "You know why?" And you know what he said? Mm. He said, "Because we're Christians." Oh. And that wasn't what I was going to say, but I thought, wow, that's a better answer than I had. Yeah, you're right, because we're Christians. Yes. But he does say that now when I say, you know, like a kid lied or somebody hurt him. And I said, "You don't do that back. Just because someone did it to you, you don't do that back." And he said, "Why? Because we're Christians?" I said, "Because, yes, and it's the right thing to do to not hurt other people just because someone strikes out at you. I know that your first response is to want to hurt them back, but that's not the right thing to do."
And that's very hard, being raised in a community and in a world where bullying is so rampant right now, to teach your kids where is that line of respecting and loving others and standing up for yourself because you're not a doormat. And that's just a hard road to navigate, you know, with a lot of different topics that we're trying to teach our kids. Where is that line between we are Christians and we're not going to wave back with that finger and we're just going to give them grace because we have no idea the journey that they're on right now.
You know, we were talking earlier about, you know, your mission, that you had some difficulties in your childhood, and that we were talking about your mission to encourage women, talk about how God, you know, cleanses you and can rebuild you. You really can become a new person, and also raising godly children. When you talked about the lies of the world, per se, and you talked about how, you know, the world tells us that to be important, we have to make a certain amount of money, or, you know, a certain, your check has to have a certain amount of zeros, or a title, you know, a fancy title. Charles Stanley, the other day, one of my favorite pastors, said, you know, the world will tell you that it's about your salary and your title. He said, but really it's about, you know, spreading kindness to others, that going out and helping people, that should be where the value comes. But our society really doesn't seem to think that that's as important.
I see that all over the place. And when I speak to women, that is a topic that I cover quite a bit, is value and worth, and how we live in this measurable society. And so we start measuring our worth based on different numbers that are out there. And you mentioned a couple of them, but it can also be the number on the scale, or the size in your clothes, or the number of party invitations you get, or social media numbers can really mess with you as well.
How many people like you?
Absolutely.
Or unlike you.
Exactly right. Because it does. It can or blog subscribers. It can really mess with you and make you feel like you're just never going to be good enough. You're never going to measure up.
And I wonder why it hurts so much when I had an acquaintance that really liked the show and listened a lot. And then I went to, you know, send him a note, and he'd unfriended me. It did hurt my feelings. You know, and we didn't like go for coffee and things like that, but, you know, he'd been a Facebook friend of mine. He used to watch me on TV. Then he listened to the radio show, was very supportive of what I was doing. And then you kind of run through your head, like, what have I done that would make someone actually unfriend me that I hadn't talked to on the phone? It was only social media. And one of my girlfriends said, "Well, do you post Christian things that might, you know, offend people?" I said, "I just kind of post about my kids and normal day-to-day life. I don't specifically try to have an agenda. It's just, I mean, what you see is what you get on my page. It's my show and me and my kids and my family. That's it." So yeah, so why would that hurt? I mean, I don't even really know him. I've only met him once.
I think it's because we put ourselves out there. We allow ourselves to be vulnerable. We allow ourselves to share a little bit outside of our protective barrier that we have around us. And we feel rejection when what we put out there is not well received. I think it makes us feel rejected and unapproved of. And that is very hard for women, especially.
How have you broken through that feeling like you had to weigh a certain weight, that, you know, these are things you said that you focused on, make a certain amount of money, be, you know, important in the world. How have you dealt with that? I'm not saying you're not important in the world.
Well, I'm really not.
Well, you know, because I dealt with that being on TV and then people are like, well, why don't you want to get back on TV? Like, that's more important. But I love doing the radio. Mm-hmm. I really love it. I don't feel like TV is more important. I feel like I touch more people's hearts this way. Even though more people saw me on TV and I made more money, I feel like this has really great value.
Right. I would say I'm a work in progress. And I would say maybe Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I feel great about who I am. And then something happens on Thursday and I have to realign my thoughts.
How do you
and
do that?
Well, I go back to who I am in Christ. And I remember standing in the kitchen the other day and just saying, Lord, I am so lonely. I feel like I don't have any friends. I feel like I don't have anybody that thinks I am worth anything. I'm empty inside. Would you just come and fill that empty space in me? Be my friend. And it was the craziest thing. Because he did. He actually, God is who he says he is, and he does what he says he's going to do. And if we cry out to him to help us fill those places or to, you know, cover over those offenses, he really will do that. It's just a matter of us doing it.
And for people who aren't Christians, when they listen to that, they're like, that's nutty.
Probably. Well, it is. It's very countercultural. We're raised in a society that says you can do it.
Yes,
it's
you.
It's all up to you.
All about you.
And Jesus says it's about me.
Well, I think it's really interesting that every 12-step program basically says you have to give it to a higher power. Mm-hmm. And for us as Christians, you know, that's the Lord, that's Jesus, that's God, that's our faith. And if that's so successful, even if you're not a Christian, do you see that there could be some power in that? You know, there could be some worth in attempting. The way I see it, if you're not a Christian, that what do you have to lose? Like, if you are in a dark place, if you are going through a hard time, if you are struggling, one of the guys that came through here, I have amazing testimonies on the show, and he had been homeless, and he saw that Jesus Save sign outside the rescue mission. And he'd been an addict, and he went in and said, I'm not leaving. I know I'll die if I don't get help. And he went through the New Life program, and he's sober, and he now works. And he works at Goodwill, I believe. He's a manager. And he said, you know, I would say to people out there, you're going through a hard time. Maybe, you know, you've got addiction, or you're, you know, you abuse your wife. You've got, you know, your troubles. You're a gambler. He said, you know, you've tried everything else to fill that hole in your heart. You've tried everything else. Why not try God? What do you have to lose? And I do agree. If you cry out for God, he does answer. And I'm not just talking like, hey, God, you know, I might believe in you. I might not. You know, hey, what's going on? You know, hey, I'm feeling sad. And if you're there, I'd really like some help. No, I mean, like, when you are really, you know, you really cry out to God.
Absolutely.
And that happens for many of us when we hit, you know, a point of despair. After I lost my brother, I would say that was a time after he was murdered that, you know, I really felt that I needed that extra love, you know, in my heart. And there are times in my younger life, because I actually went to church and was and became a Christian when I was staying with a relative, kind of a foster care situation. And so then over the years, a lot of people, I didn't go to church with some of the people I lived with at various times. So that was a time, I think, in my 20s where I really, really strengthened my faith. And I felt something that I can't describe, but it definitely was something that was tangible to me that gave me that peace that surpasses all understanding. And when you go from despair and you're on the ground and you're crying and then you feel peace, to me, there's no other way to describe it. I mean, how can you make sense of that? Or like my girlfriend, Julie, who lost her son 3 years ago yesterday in Afghanistan. He lost his legs and an arm. And she said God gave her the peace that surpasses all understanding. How do you explain that if you don't believe in God? What is it? Is it just like, do they think we had a lot of caffeine? Do they think we're crazy? Do they think that we had, you know, we really like chocolate? Do they think we drank too much? I don't know.
I know. That's a good question. You know, I think there is such power in our testimony. And quite honestly, if I were to tell somebody these words, it's harder for them to understand than if they were to see my life and see and hear where I have been. And I've tried all those fillers. I've tried all those things to fill that God-shaped hole inside of me. I've tried it all and it didn't work. And if you were to look at my life now in contrast, that to me is the best way to show somebody the power of the cross and what Jesus can do. I agree. I would be very skeptical too if someone said, cry out to God and your troubles are gone. I would have a hard time believing that. But when you see the power of a story and the transformation and know that they give credit to Jesus, that they have cried out for years and he has delivered them or healed them or restored them or whatever that might be, I think that is the most powerful example that you can offer.
One of my friends that I worked with in the news business was filling in one day anchoring. So he was sitting next to me in the desk and he said, well, you're a big, you know, Jesus freak or Bible thumper. Like why do you believe in God? And I said to him that, you know, I said, I can't even explain to you what happened to me. all I can say is it was so real and that peace was so tangible to me that I can't, it was just done. It was a done deal, I believed. And then several incidents happened after that where I just reconfirmed, you know, my faith and my walk and what I was meant to do. And I really feel, you know, my name's Angela after my grandmother Angel, and it means messenger of God. And even when I wasn't a Christian, I thought, that, wow, that's really cool. Who wouldn't want to be a messenger of God? And now I feel like ultimately by doing the good news, that it's the good news of the Bible, but also positive news of the world that's out there, that I am, you know, I'm like the microphone for Jesus. You know, we tell good stories, we have a few laughs on the show, but then I like people to know that if they're hurting, that that is an option.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
And I know people that listen to the show, some of them aren't Christians. And so I try not to be, I'm probably more Bible thumpy today than I normally am, but I just want them to know it's an option. It's an option that that works, and it's there if they're hurting.
Well, and it is an option. And like I said, you know, you can try all these other things. And I try to even talk with my kids about this God-shaped hole and say to them, when you have this hole in you, what are some things you try to fill with? And we'll list off some things, friends, food, Disney Channel, whatever. And so how do we need to handle that? So even starting younger and teaching them what it looks like to fill that and how it's supposed
to
be filled.
Idea.
Yes, I think that's going to make probably a better well-adjusted adult than I am.
Yeah. Oh, Carrie Scott, I want people to be able to get in touch with you. Again, her books, Let's Get Real, Raising Godly Kids, and also Raising Godly Kids, A Book of Prayers. How do they reach you?
You can reach me at my website. It's carriescotttalks.com, spelled CarrieScottTalks.com.
Excellent. Thank you, Carrie. It was great having you in.
Yes, thank you so much.
All right. I would love